One might ask why Ruin couldn't have used Inquisitors to release him from his prison. The answer to this is simple enough, if one understands the workings of power. Before the Lord Ruler's death, he maintained too tight a grip on them to let Ruin control them directly. Even after the Lord Ruler's death, however, such a servant of Ruin could never have rescued him. The power in the well was of preservation, and an Inquisitor could only have taken it by first removing his hemallergic spikes. That, of course, would have killed him. Thus, Ruin needed a much more indirect way to achieve his purpose. He needed someone he hadn't tainted too much, but someone he could lead by the nose, carefully manipulating. 49. Says had made a small notation on his diagram, comparing measurements of the waterway. From what he could tell, the Lord Ruler hadn't really needed to do much to create the underground lake. Water had already been flowing into the cavern. The Lord Ruler's engineers had simply widened the passageways, bringing in a steadier, surer flow that outpaced the natural drainage. The result was an aquifer of good size. Some machinery in a side cave proved to be a mechanism for plugging the outlets at the bottom, presumably so that one could keep the water reserve from escaping should something happen to the incoming supply. Unfortunately, there was no existing way to block off the inlets. Before the Lord Ruler's creation of the reservoir, only a small amount of the water had passed into the cavern. The rest flowed instead into what were now the streets, filling the canals. So, says it assumed, if he could stop the water from entering the cavern, it would refill the canals.
"I'll need to know more about water pressure," Sazed thought, "so I can provide enough weight to plug those inlets."
He thought he'd seen a book on the subject inside his metal mind. He leaned back in his chair, tapping his metal mind. Memory blossomed inside his head as he withdrew a section of text. An index he'd made listing the titles of books he had in his storage. As soon as he pulled the text out, the words became as clear to him as if he'd just read and memorized them. He scanned through the list quickly, seeking the title he needed. When he found it, he scribbled it on a piece of paper. Then he placed the list back inside his copper mind. The experience was odd. After replacing the list, he could recollect having drawn the material out, but he had no memory whatsoever of what the index had contained. There was a blank in his mind. Only the words scribbled on the paper explained things that he'd known just seconds before. With that title, he could draw the appropriate book into his mind in its entirety. He selected the chapters he wanted, then stuck the rest back into the copper mind, lest they decay. And with those chapters, his knowledge of engineering was as fresh as if he'd just read and studied the book. He easily figured out the proper weights and balances he'd need to craft barriers that would, he hoped, return water to the streets above. He worked alone, sitting at a fine stolen desk, a lantern lighting the cavern around him. Even with the knowledge provided by his copper mines, it was difficult work, with many calculations, not exactly the kind of research he was accustomed to. Fortunately, a keeper's copper mines were not limited to his own interests. Each keeper kept all of the knowledge. Sazed could vaguely remember the years he'd spent listening and memorizing. He'd only needed to know the information well enough to remember it for a short time, then he could dump it into a copper mind. In that way, he was both one of the smartest and most ignorant men who had ever lived. He had memorized so much, but had intentionally forgotten it all. Regardless, he had access to texts on engineering as well as religion. Knowing such things did not make him a brilliant mathematician or architect. However, it did give him enough competence to make him a good deal better than a layman. And as he worked, he was finding it more and more difficult to deny that scholarship was something at which he excelled. He was not a leader. He was not an ambassador. Even while he served as Ellen's chief ambassador, he'd spent much of his time looking through his religions. Now, when he should be heading the team in Urto, more and more he found himself letting Spook take the lead. Sazed was a man of research and of letters. He found contentment in his studies. Even though engineering wasn't an area he particularly enjoyed, the truth was he'd much rather study, no matter what the topic, than do anything else. "Is it a shameful thing," he thought, "to be the man who likes to provide information for others,
rather than be the one who has to use that information? The tapping of a cane on the ground announced Breeze's arrival. The soother didn't need a cane to walk, he just preferred to carry one to look more gentlemanly. Of all the Ska thieves Sazed had known, Breeze did by far the best job of imitating a nobleman. Sazed quickly jotted down a few more notations, then returned the chapters on water pressure to his copper mind. No need to let them decay while speaking to Breeze. For, of course, Breeze would want to talk. Sure enough, as soon as Breeze sat at Sazed's table, he scanned the diagrams, then raised an eyebrow.
"That's coming along nicely, my dear man. You may have missed your calling."
Sazed smiled. "You are kind, Lord Breeze, though I fear an engineer would find this plan unsightly. Still, I think it will be sufficient."
"You really think you can do it?" Breeze asked. "Make the waters flow as the lad asked? Is it even possible?"
"Oh, it is quite possible," Sazed said. "My expertise, not the plausibility of the task, is the item in question. The waters once filled those canals, and they can do so again. In fact, I believe that their return will be far more spectacular than the original flow. Before, much of the water was already diverted into these caverns. I should be able to block most of that, and return the waters above in force. Of course, if Lord Spook wishes to keep the canals flowing, then we will have to let some of the water escape down here again. Canal works generally don't have much of a current, especially in an area where there are many locks."
Breeze raised an eyebrow.
"Actually," Sazed continued, "canals are far more fascinating than you might expect. Take, for instance, the methods of transforming a natural river into a canal, making it what is called a navigation, or perhaps look at the methods of dredging used to remove silt and ash from the depths. I have one particular book by the infamous Lord Fedra, who, despite his reputation, was an absolute genius when it came to canal architecture. Why, I've had to—"
Sazed trailed off, then smiled wanly.
"I apologize. You're not interested in this, are you?"
"No," Breeze said. "But it's enough that you are, Sazed. It's good to see you excited about your studies again. I don't know what it was you were working on before, but it always bothered me that you wouldn't share it with anyone. Seemed like you were almost ashamed of what you were doing. Now, however, this is like the Sazed I remember."
Sazed looked down at his scribbled notes and diagrams. It was true. The last time that he had been so excited about a line of study was when he'd been with her, working on their collection of myths and references regarding the Hero of Ages.
"In truth, Lord Breeze," Sazed said, "I do feel somewhat guilty."
Sazed rolled his eyes.
"Sazed, do you always have to be feeling guilty about something? Back in the original crew, you felt you weren't doing enough to help us overthrow the Lord Ruler. Then, once we killed him, you were distraught because you weren't doing what the other keepers told you to. Do you want to tell me exactly how you go about feeling guilty for studying, of all things?"
"I enjoy it."
"That's wonderful, my dear man," Breeze said. "Why be ashamed of that enjoyment? It's not like you enjoy killing puppies or something like that. True, I think you're a bit crazy, but if you want to enjoy something so particularly esoteric, then you should feel free. It leaves more room for those of us who prefer more common delights, such as getting drunk on Strafventure's finest wines."
Sazed smiled. He knew that Breeze was pushing on his emotions, making him feel better. But he did not rebel against the emotions. The truth was, he did feel good. Better than he had in some time.
"Though still,
it is not so simple, Lord Breeze," Sazed said, setting down his pen. "I feel happy being able to simply sit and read without having to be in charge. That is why I feel guilty."
"Not everybody is meant to be a leader, Sazed."
"No," Sazed said. "But Lord Elend did put me in charge of securing this city. I should be planning our overthrow of the citizen, not letting Lord Spook do it."
"My dear man," Breeze said, leaning down, "have I taught you nothing? Being in charge isn't about doing anything. It's about making certain that other people do what they're supposed to. Delegation, my friend. Without it, we would have to bake our own bread and dig our own latrines.
Then Breeze leaned in.
And trust me, you don't want to taste anything I've had a hand in baking. Ever. Particularly after I've cleaned a latrine.
Sazed shook his head.
This isn't what Tyndall would have wanted of me. She respected leaders and politicians. Correct me if you must, Breeze said, but didn't she fall in love with you, not some king or prince? Well, love is perhaps...
Come now, Sazed, Breeze said. You were mooning about as surely as any teenage boy with a new fancy. And while she was a bit more reserved, she did love you. One didn't have to be a soother to see that much.
Sazed sighed, looking down.
Is this what she'd want of you, Sazed? Breeze said. To deny who you are? To become yet another stuffy politician?
I do not know, Lord Breeze, Sazed said softly. I don't have her any more. And so perhaps I can remember her by being involved in what she loved.
Sazed, Breeze said frankly, how is it you can be so wise in so many areas, yet be so completely stupid about this? A man is what he has passion about, Breeze said. I've found that if you give up what you want most for what you think you should want more, you'll just end up miserable.
And if what I want isn't what society needs, Sazed said. Sometimes we just have to do what we don't enjoy. That is a simple fact of life, I think.
Breeze shrugged. I don't worry about that. I just do what I'm good at. In my case, that's making other people do things that I don't want to. It all fits together in the end.
Sazed shook his head. It wasn't that simple, and his depression lately hadn't only been tied to Tyndall and her death. He had put off his study of the religions, but he knew that he would be driven to return to them. The work with the canals was a welcome distraction, but even so, Sazed could feel his earlier conclusions and work looming. He didn't want to discover that the last religions in the group held no answers. That was part of why it was so relaxing for him to study something else, for engineering didn't threaten his world view. However, he could not distract himself forever. He would find the answers, or the lack of answers, eventually. His portfolio sat beneath the desk, resting against the sack of metal mines. For now, however, he allowed himself a reprieve. But even with his concern over the religions abated for the moment, there were concerns that needed addressing. He nodded his head in the direction of the lake. Spook, just barely visible, stood at the edge, speaking with Goradel and some of the soldiers.
"And what of him, Lord Breeze?" Sazed asked in a whisper, low enough that even Spook wouldn't be able to hear. "As I said, Emperor Venture placed me in charge of this matter. What if I let Spook take control and then he fails? I worry that the young man is not seasoned enough for this task."
Breeze shrugged. "He seems to be doing well so far." Remember how young Vin was when she killed the Lord Ruler?
Yes, Sazed whispered. But this situation is different. Spook seems odd lately. He is certainly hiding things from us. Why is he so determined to take this city?
I think it's good for the boy to show a little determination, Breeze said, sitting back in his chair. That lad has been far too passive for most of his life.
Do you not worry about his plan? This could easily collapse around us.
Sazed, Breeze said, do you remember our meeting a few weeks back? Spook asked me why we couldn't just topple Quellian like we did the Lord Ruler.
I remember, Sazed said. You told him the reason we couldn't was because we didn't have Kelsia anymore.
Breeze nodded.
Well, he said softly, pointing his cane toward Spook, my opinion has been revised. We don't have Kelsier, but it's looking more and more like we have something similar.
Sazed frowned.
I'm not saying the lad has Kelsier's force of personality, his presence. However, you've heard the reputation the boy is gaining among the people. Kelsier succeeded not because of who he was, but because of who people thought he was. That's something I didn't believe we could replicate. I'm starting to think I was wrong.
Sazed wasn't as easily convinced, yet he kept his reservations to himself as he turned back to his research. Spook must have noticed them looking over at him, for a few minutes later he made his way to Sazed's table. The boy blinked against the lantern light, soft though it was, and pulled up a chair. The fine furniture looked odd to Sazed, contrasted against the rows of dusty, utilitarian shelves. Spook looked fatigued. How long has it been since he slept? Sazed thought. He's still up whenever I bed down and awake before I rise.
Something doesn't feel right here, Spook said.
Oh? Breeze asked.
Other than the fact that we're chatting beside an underground lake in a storehouse built by the Lord Ruler underneath an Inquisitor fortress?
Spook gave the soother a flat look, then glanced at Sazed.
I feel like we should have been attacked by now.
What makes you say that?
Sazed asked.
I know Quellian, Saz. The man's a bully after the classical style. He came to power through force, and he keeps control by giving the people plenty of alcohol and tiny freedoms, like letting them go to bars at night. At the same time, however, he keeps everyone on the edge of fear.
How did he take charge, anyway? Breeze asked. How did he get control before some nobleman with a good set of house guards could do it?
Mists, Spook said. He went out in them, and declared that anyone faithful to the survivor would be safe in them. Then the mists started killing and gave a handy confirmation of what he'd said. He made a big deal about the mists killing those who had evil in their hearts. The people were so worried about what was happening that they listened to him. He managed to make a law that required everyone to go out in the mists, so that they could see who died and who didn't. The ones who survived were, he declared, pure. He told them they could set up a nice little utopia. After that, they started killing nobility.
Ah, Breeze said. Clever.
Yeah, Spook said. He completely glossed over the fact that the nobility never got taken by the mists.
Wait, Sazed said.
What?
Spook shrugged.
Hard to confirm now, but that's what the stories say. The nobility seemed immune to the mist sickness. Not Scar, who had noble blood, but actually nobility.
How odd, Breeze noted.
More than odd, Sazed thought. Downright strange. Does Elend know about this connection? As Sazed considered it, it seemed unlikely that Elend did. Their army and allies were all made up of Ska. The only nobility they knew were those back in Luthadel, and they had all chosen to stay inside at night rather than risk going into the mists.
Either way, Spook said, Quellian's a bully, and bullies don't like anyone in their turf who can challenge them. We should have had some kind of attempt on our lives by now.
The lad has a point, Breeze said. Quellian's type doesn't kill just in fancy executions. I'd bet that for every person he throws into one of those buildings, there are three dead in an alley somewhere, slowly being buried in ash.
I've told Goradel and his men to be particularly careful, Spook said, and I've prowled our perimeter. However, I haven't caught any assassins so much as spying on us. Quellian's troops just sit out there watching us, but not doing anything.
Breeze rubbed his chin.
Perhaps Quellian is more afraid of us than you assume.
Perhaps, Spook said, sighing. He rubbed his forehead.
Lord Spook, Sazed said carefully, you should sleep.
I'm fine, Spook said.
If I didn't know better, I'd say he was burning pewter to stay awake, Sazed thought. Or am I just looking for signs to confirm what I worried about before? We never questioned when Vin or Kelsier manifested powers beyond what even normal allomancers were capable of.
Why should I be so suspicious of Spook? Is it simply because I know him too well? Do I focus on my memories of the boy, when he has obviously become a man?
Anyway, Spook said, how goes the research?
Rather well, actually, Sazed said, turning around several of his diagrams so that Spook could see them. I am about ready to begin work on the actual construction.
How long will it take, do you think?
A few weeks, perhaps, Sazed said. A rather short time, all things considered. Fortunately, the people who drained the canals left behind a large amount of rubble, which I can use. In addition, the Lord Ruler stocked this storehouse quite well. There is timber, as well as some basic carpentry supplies, and even some pulley networks.
What was that creature preparing for? Breeze said. Food and water, I can understand, but blankets, timber, pulleys?
Disaster, Lord Breeze, Sazed said. He included everything that a people would need in the event that the city itself was destroyed. He even included bedrolls for sleeping and infirmary supplies. Perhaps he feared Kolos rampages.
No, Spook said. He prepared for exactly what is happening. Now you'll be building something to plug the water? I kinda thought you'd just collapse the tunnels.
Oh, goodness, no, Sazed said. We don't have the manpower or equipment to cause a cave-in. Also, I wouldn't want to do anything that would risk bringing the cavern down upon us. My plans are to build a wooden blocking mechanism that can be lowered into the current. Enough weight, along with the proper framework, should provide reinforcement to stop the flow. It's actually not unlike the mechanisms used in the locks of canals.
Which, Breeze added, he'll be happy to tell you about. At length.
Sazed smiled.
I do think that...
He was cut off, however, as Captain Goradel arrived, looking a fair bit more solemn than usual.
Lord Spook, Goradel said, someone is waiting for you above.
Who? Spook asked.
Dern?
No, my lord. She says she's the citizen's sister.
I'm not here to join with you, the woman, Beldra, said.
They sat in an austere audience chamber in the Inquisition building above their cavern. The room's chairs lacked any sort of cushioning, and steel plates hung on the wooden walls as decoration. To Sazed, they were uncomfortable reminders of what he had seen when he had visited the conventicle of Saren. Beldra was a young woman with auburn hair. She wore a simple, citizen-approved dress, dyed red. She sat with hands in lap, and while she met the eyes of those in the room, there was a nervous apprehension to her that weakened her position considerably.
"Why are you here, then, my dear?"
Breeze asked carefully. He sat in a chair across from Beldra. Orianne sat at his side, watching the girl with an air of disapproval. Spook paced in the background, occasionally shooting glances at the window.
"He thinks this is a feint," Sazed realized, "that the girl is a distraction to throw us off before we get attacked."
The boy wore his dueling canes, strapped to his waist like swords. How well did Spook even know how to fight?
"I'm here," Beldra said, looking down. "I'm here because you're going to kill my brother."
"Now where did you get an idea like that?" Breeze said. "We're in the city to forge a treaty with your brother, not assassinate him. Do we look like the types who would be very good at that sort of thing?"
Beldra shot a glance at Spook.
"Him excluded," Breeze said. "Spook is harmless. Really, you shouldn't—"
"Breeze," Spook interrupted, glancing over with his strange bandaged eyes, spectacles hidden underneath and bulging out from the face just slightly under the cloth.
"That's enough. You're making us both seem like idiots. Beldra knows why we're here. Everyone in the city knows why we're here."
The room fell silent.
"He looks a little bit like an inquisitor, wearing those spectacles beneath the bandages," Sazed thought, shivering.
"Beldra," Spook said, "you honestly expect us to think that you came here simply to plead for your brother's life?"
She glanced at Spook, defiantly meeting his eyes, or rather his lack thereof.
"You can try to sound harsh, but I know you won't hurt me. You're of the survivor's crew."
Spook folded his arms.
"Please," Veldra said. "Quellian is a good man like you. You have to give him more time. Don't kill him."
"What makes you think we'd kill him, child?" Sazed asked.
"You just said that you thought we would never harm you. Why is your brother different?"
Veldra glanced down.
"You're the ones who killed the Lord Ruler. You overthrew the entire empire. My brother doesn't believe it. He thinks that you rode the survivor's popularity, claiming to be his friends after he'd sacrificed himself."
Spook snorted.
"I wonder where your brother got an idea like that. Perhaps he knows someone else who's claimed to have the survivor's blessing, killing people in his name."
Veldra blushed.
"Your brother doesn't trust us," Sazed said. "Why do you?"
Veldra shrugged.
"I don't know," she said quietly. "I guess men who lie don't save children from burning buildings."
Sazed glanced at Spook, but couldn't read anything in the young man's hard expression. Finally, Spook spoke.
"Breeze, Sazed, Orianne, outside with me. Goradel, watch the woman."
Spook pushed his way out into the hallway, and Sazed followed with the others. Once the door was closed, Spook turned to regard the rest of them.
"Well?"
"I don't like her,"
Orianne said, folding her arms.
"Of course you don't, dear," Breeze said. "You never like competition."
"Competition?" Orianne huffed. "From a timid little thing like that? Honestly."
"What do you think, Breeze?" Spook asked.
"About the girl, or about you insulting me in there?"
"The first," Spook said. "Your pride isn't important right now."
"My dear fellow," Breeze said, "my pride is always important. As for the girl, I'll tell you this, she's terrified. Despite what she says, she's very, very frightened, which means that she hasn't done this sort of thing very often. My guess is that she's noble."
Orianne nodded.
"Definitely. Just look at her hands. When they're not shaking from fright, you can see that they're clean and soft. She grew up being pampered."
"She's obviously a bit naive," Sazed said. "Otherwise, she wouldn't have come here expecting that we'd just listen to her, then let her go."
Spook nodded. He cocked his head as if listening to something. Then he walked forward, pushing open the door to the room.
"Well?" Veldra asked, maintaining her false air of forcefulness. "Have you decided to listen to me?"
"In a way," Spook said. "I'm going to give you more time to explain your point. Plenty of time, actually."
"I don't have long," Veldra said. "I need to get back to my brother. I didn't tell him I was leaving, and—"
She trailed off, apparently seeing something in Spook's expression.
"Breeze," Spook said, turning.
"How do you think the people would respond if I started spreading the rumor that the citizen's own sister has turned against him, fleeing to our embassy for protection?"
Breeze smiled.
"Well now, that's clever. Almost makes up for how you treated me. Have I mentioned yet how rude that was?"
"You can't," Veldra said, standing, facing Spook. "Nobody will believe that I've deserted."
"Oh?" Spook asked. "Did you speak to the soldiers outside before you came in here?"
"Of course not," Veldra said. "They'd have tried to stop me. I ran up the steps before they could."
"So they can confirm that you entered the building of your own will," Spook said. "Sneaking around a guard post."
"Doesn't look good," Breeze agreed.
Veldra wilted slightly, sitting down in her chair.
"By the forgotten gods," Sazed thought. "She really is naive. The citizen must have expended a great deal of effort in sheltering her so."
Of course, from what Sazed had heard, Quellian rarely let the girl out of his sight. She was always with him, being watched over.
How will he react? Sazed thought with a chill. What will he do when he learns we have her? Attack. Perhaps that was the plan. If Spook could force an outright attack on the citizens' part, it would look bad. Especially bad when Quellian was turned back by a few soldiers. He couldn't know how well fortified their position was.
When did Spook get so clever?
Beldra looked up from her seat, a few tears of frustration gleaming in her eyes.
You can't do this. This is deceitful. What would the survivor say if he knew what you were planning?
The survivor? Spook asked, chuckling. I have a feeling he'd approve. If he were here, actually, I think he'd suggest that we do this very thing.